صحيح. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is Allah's true slave and messenger. During these classes on the month of Ramadan and the fasting, we have reached the point concerning the seventh category upon whom we're going to talk about the rules pertaining to this category, and this applies to the ill person, to the ill believer. And the ill believer we refer to here is the believer, is the ill believer who hopes to recover, whose recovery is anticipated. And there are three conditions pertaining to his category. There are three conditions pertaining to the category of the ill person whose recovery is anticipated in his illness. Number one, the ill person, if fasting is not difficult and hard upon him, is not a hardship upon him, and it does not harm him, then it is obligatory upon him to fast. Because there is no excuse that permits him to break the fast. So, the ill person, we're talking about the ill person whose recovery is anticipated, who, you know, he's ill, but it is anticipated, it's hoped that he will recover. We're not talking about the terminally ill person, incurable. No, that's, we covered that. So, if fasting is not a hardship upon him, and does not harm him, then it is obligatory for him, for this sick person, to fast. Second status, that fasting is hard upon him, but does not cause him harm. Fasting is hard upon him, but it does not cause him harm. Then in this case, he breaks the fast. In this case, he breaks the fast, and it is disliked for him to fast with hardship. Then it is disliked for him to fast with hardship. So this is the second situation. Fasting is hard upon the person, but does not cause him harm. In this case, he breaks the fast. Breaks the fasting, and it is disliked for him to fast with the hardship, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for his slave to take his permits, in the same way that he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dislikes that the person indulges in disobedience to him. And this is part of a hadith whose narration, there is some criticism concerning its narration, but it has supporting evidences, and it is also supported by the basics of Sharia, by the objectives of Sharia. The third condition, fasting inflicts harm upon him. Fasting is harmful to him. Then it's a must for him to break the fast. Then it is a must for him to break the fast. Fasting inflicts harm upon the sick person, then it's a must for him to break the fast. And it is not permitted for him to fast. It is not permitted, it's not allowable for him to fast under this condition. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 29, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. And don't kill yourselves, certainly Allah is most merciful to you. O who you believe, eat not up your property among yourselves, unjustly, except it be a trade among you by mutual consent. But the point of evidence is, and don't kill yourselves, nor kill one another, surely Allah is most merciful to you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, إِنَّ لِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقَّى. Verily, yourself has a right upon you. Verily, yourself has a right upon you. And from its right upon you is that you don't inflict harm upon it while Allah gave you the permit, when you have a way out, when Allah gave you a permit. And because of the saying of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام as well, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, there is no harm, there is no reciprocating of harm. This is reported by Ibn Majah and Hakim and Imam al-Nawawi. He said that it has narrations that strengthen each other. These are the conditions. Now, if the sickness befalls this person during the month of Ramadan while he is fasting, and it is difficult for him to continue, then it is permissible for him to break the fast because he has the excuse, the legal excuse. Now, if he is cured and recovers during one of the fasting days of Ramadan, during the day, and he is not fasting, then it is incorrect for him to fast this day because he was not fasting in the beginning of the day. And the dutiful fasting is not correct unless it starts from the dawn time. The question now, this person is cured during the day in a fasting day of Ramadan. The question now, is it incumbent upon him to refrain the rest of the day or not? There is difference of opinion amongst the scholars, and the correct opinion is that he should not refrain. But he should not refrain. The correct opinion, he should not refrain. He can continue eat and drink, you know. Of course, this has to be made up after Ramadan. Now, another situation, also important to this matter, if it is medically determined that fasting can aggravate the health status of the sick person and thus or delays his healing, then it is permissible for him to break the fast in order to preserve his health and protect against the disease, against the illness. so as not to have it aggravated. So, if he is of this category, the category we are talking about, those who anticipate their healing, then he waits until he heals. Then he makes up what he missed from the Ramadan. And if it is not anticipated that he will recover, then the ruling for him is to feed as a ransom, fidya. For every day he broke the fast, to feed a poor Muslim. This is if his case is incurable and his is not anticipated for him to recover. Like the people on cancer and the like. So these are the fundamental matters concerning to this category. These are the fundamental matters concerning to this category. And you have them now in text. You can copy them. Now we going to go for cases. A person was ill, anticipating recovery. Then after Ramadan, he wasn't able to make up what he missed because of his situation. And then he died. Then there is nothing upon him, nor upon his guardians. There is no makeup, and there is no fidya, because he is excused. He was unable. He was unable to perform the fasting because of his illness, and he wasn't able to make it up, because he died. A person intended to, after recovery, to make up the days he missed. But he wasn't able till after the next Ramadan. Then he can make up these days after the next Ramadan, because legally he is excused because of inability. However, without an excuse, then he needs tawbah. This is very, very serious. Then he needs tawbah, make up, and feeding. Then he needs tawbah, makeup, and feeding. Tawbah means repentance. Repentance. He needs to repent to Allah because he didn't have any legal excuse. And he should make up the missed days and also feed for every day one miskeen, one poor. Case. If he is ill, but sometimes he is strong, some days he is strong, and some days he is weak. Then he fasts the days he is strong, such that there is no harm upon him, and breaks the fast on the days he is weak. The ill person who needs medication during the day, tablets and so forth, then it is allowable for him to break the fast. And if he needs medications of the type of inhalers or injections, muscular injections, or intravenously, like pain medicine and the like, but that is not to be a substitute for in nutrition. Be careful. Then his fasting is correct. It's not invalid. Another case. The person could not make the make-up for the missing days because of the continuity of the illness. Then there is no harm to postpone the make-up until he is able, even if this would mean after the next Ramadan. Then, if the inability continues, then he goes for the feeding. If the inability continues, then he goes for the feeding. We talked about the injections, medical injections. These are of different types. First, those injections intended to be as a substitute for food and nutrition. And these are not, these break the fast. These break the fast. The second type are those injections which are not a substitute for foods and drinks and beverages, like the insulin injections, pain injections. These do not break the fast. Suppositories do not break the fast. Suppositories do not break the fast. Gargling medicine does not break the fast, but the person should be careful not to exaggerate and not to swallow it. Inhalers don't break the fast. Inhalers for asthma and bronchial asthma and you name it do not break the fast, because these dissipate in the lungs and they don't reach the stomach. Eye drops, ear drops do not invalidate the fast, even if they may be felt in the throat, on the throat, because the ear and the nose are not of the regular paths that go to the stomach. Vomiting, uninduced vomiting, whether by the ill person or not, uninduced vomiting does not invalidate the fast. Involuntary. Voluntary or induced vomiting, it does. The opposite is true. Now, drawing blood for blood analysis does not invalidate the fast. Drawing blood for blood analysis does not invalidate the fast. Bleeding, involuntary bleeding from the nose or from a wound. Somebody steps on a glass or something, cuts his finger in the kitchen. Even if it will dispel a lot of blood, it does not break the fast. And if it comes out voluntarily, then this will entail weakness of the body. Then our Sheikh says in this case that it does break the fast. Does not break the fast. Hemodialysis. Hemodialysis. Kidney dialysis, hemodialysis. I found two opinions on this after I researched this matter. People, you know, go for dialysis, they take their blood out and then they make dialysis, they wash it out and so forth, and then they infuse it back to the body. This is called hemodialysis. I found two opinions amongst the scholars concerning this recent matter. One opinion is that it does break the fast because of some sugarly additives that are added before re-injecting the blood. Then I found okay that our Shaykh Rahimahullah studied this matter carefully, and he says, and this was on tape, I didn't see it in record, so I talked to one of the senior students, alhamdulillah, and he told me he has a transcription by written by the Sheikh himself in his own handwriting, and he promised me tomorrow to show it to me. He said that the Sheikh studied it carefully, and he sees that, you know, these additives are part of the treatment and they don't constitute any kind of real nourishment. It's only blood taken and blood added with some medicines, but are not nutritionally effective. And thus the Shaykh does not see that it breaks the fast. So this is concerning the hemodialysis. The medical authority on fasting issues. The doctor must be Muslim, trustworthy, expert in his profession. If he commands you to break the fast, then his medical advice is considerate, is taken into account. If he is not a Muslim, then he must be a trusted expert in his profession, known to the community. And if he is not trustworthy and not and unjust, Muslim or non-Muslim, then his evaluation is not taken into account. The last thing is medical creams, and especially those used for skin, faces and on hands and so forth by some people. Our Shaykh Rahimahullah does not see that they break the fast. Also the kuhul, which is used for beautification and for also eye treatment, which is like a black dye that goes on the eyebrows, so the woman put, and also put for some youngsters. The kuhul also does not break the fast. like a black dye used for beautification. Similarly, the henna used by women, the henna, one of the herbs for beautification, also does not break the fast. This is, alhamdulillah, the topic for this category. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.